there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas, viva.
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. I'm John Katzlamitas. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun and on LasVegasSun.com. I write for all of the titles in Greenspun Media Group, including but not exclusive to Las Vegas Weekly, Las Vegas Magazine, and The Sunday. I also write for Vegas Magazine and our sister company, Niche Media. But enough about me. I'm flying solo this week because Tricia is in Akron, Ohio, or Cleveland, or somewhere in Ohio, Toledo, Cincinnati, Ohio, somewhere. She's back there, her hometown, one of those cities. So I'm flying solo as a host, but not in fact. Joining me for the entirety of the show is one of my favorite entertainers in the city, one of the great vocalists, and one of the great visionaries in Las Vegas, Anne Martinez. Welcome, Anne.
Hello, John Katz.
Anne is chiefly here to talk about BBR.
Yes.
Now, BBR, I'm asked about BBR all the time.
Yes.
Because I'm always a BBR. You can find me Tuesdays at the Tuscany, where BBR has been performing a series of shows at around 11 o'clock in,
yes.
in the T-Spot. Tell us, in your hands, what is BBR?
BBR stands for Two Blondes and a Revolution, and it is my labor of love. It has become a production company in the sense that we have created a show that we call Alice, which is a steampunk treatment of the book Alice in Wonderland, rock musical, with a 9-piece band,
mm-hmm.
4 dancers, and the vocalists are myself and Savannah Smith.
Now, steampunk, let's get to that definition first,
yes.
of all, because it has been difficult for me, even in my repetition of being involved in the show. I introduced the show, folks, so that's as disclosure. I'm actually part and party to the production as it is introduced at the T-Spot Lounge at the Tuscany. Steampunk is a dark... a darkened, quasi-gothic
it's a treatment.
Adaptation of Alice in Wonderland. And steampunk is that, right?
Steampunk, yeah. Some people, it's a lifestyle. And it's a design that I've always really liked. I first saw it in Europe years ago, and I just was blown away by it. It's kind of like Orson Welles meets the Industrial Revolution meets New Victorian. But it also can branch off into gothic steampunk. There's also vampire steampunk, futuristic, anime. So mm-hmm. it's a style that can kind of branch out. And what I wanted to do with Alice, because it is such a psychedelic and imaginative novel book itself mm-hmm. of literally this man's imagination. What I wanted to do was take steampunk and infuse that almost as like a painting on the canvas of the piece itself.
You say Alice in Wonderland, as we understand it, is psychedelic, but the show doesn't play in a psychedelic way necessarily.
No.
It's very black and white.
Yeah.
It implies steam. There is a smoke machine that gives you the impression of steam. And kudos, hands up to the people at the Tuscany for investing in the smoke machine.
They did get one.
Yeah. But, so you have that around. You have that implied.
Yes.
You have that in fact.
Mm-hmm.
What was it about? I mean, it seems like your effort was, as I think about it now, was to take something that was multicolored and multifaceted and simplify it in a way.
Yes.
And draw it to a black and white treatment and let people's minds go.
I wanted to give
that process.
The safety net, if you will, of Alice in Wonderland. Everyone knows it. So when they come in, they're not too disjointed as to what the show is. They know, okay, I know Alice in Wonderland. So it kind of gives the audience a comfortable pillow to sit on while mm-hmm. they watch the show. And then the show itself, what I did is I analyzed both books, Wonderland and Looking Glass. And then I found similarities between character breakdown. So each player in the cast of six of us...
That's just you and the dancers. You two and the dancers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We each are representational of either a character or a treatment of many characters that are all connected thematically. So what we did is we took that and then we do very gentle shout-outs to sections in the book, be it the Caterpillar, the Mock Turtle,
right.
the Duchess, the Red Queen.
They surface in the context mm-hmm. of the repetition of production numbers.
But at no point will there be I'm the rabbit, here's my watch. Like mm-hmm. there's no, I didn't want to be that literal and let it be a little bit more figurative so the audience can kind of fall into this world we've created.
The show is, it runs about an hour long, mm-hmm. a little less than that. There's no necessarily no script or book in
No,
it, is
we
there?
We use prose that is inspired by the book and written by Ryan Kelsey and myself.
Uh-huh.
So we didn't lift anything literally from the book. It's more prose that we created inspired by that is only used in transitional purposes.
Right. Yeah. And so. Then there are moments where you do speak, but it is to link to the next.
And it's very funky.
Yeah. Everything about it is very
funky. It's very funky.
Let's talk about some of the performers with you and kind of describe who they are. First of all, the band is Dave Perico, the band leader, who's from Pin Up, as people know. He's the music director there and has formed Pop Evolution, the 22-piece show band that just ended its run at the Stratosphere and is now looking there's some talk about them going to another venue, for, at least for one show. How did you hook up with David and arrange for 9 live musicians all at the top of their game?
Yes.
This is some of the best of the best you've got in there in that lounge.
Yes.
To perform a show that nobody's paying for yet.
Well, with Perico and I met him a year ago at an event for Zoe Bowie at Bally's in the Windows Theater.
Oh yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, and I was asked to sing there, and I knew of David Perico, so I was actually really nervous to sing with him leading the band because I already had so much respect for him as a musician. And then we met that day and we just became instant friends, and we're both Chuck Mangione fans, so that's kind of how we bonded.
Okay.
And then later when I was working in Pinup, we were working together on a weekly basis, and he is just genius musically. And what I wanted to do with the music was to take pop songs of all different genre, but reinvent them arrangement-wise and musically, and he gets that.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew he would get my crazy when I would call him with ideas and say, you know, I want to do Johnny Cash, but I want to do a crazy, psychedelic, funky version of Ring of Fire.
Right.
And
which
we do. Mm-hmm. And he went, okay. And then we would talk about it, and then he would come back with a chart that was absolutely insane. So we have such a good meeting of the minds when it comes to music creation.
Right. So David started working on this shortly after you met him at the...
We started working together after our first showcase, and BBR changed from what it was originally, and where I decided to do the Alice show, I approached him. So that was last summer, at the very beginning of the summer. So we spent about 6 months in meetings and writing the music very slowly, to get the arrangements that we really wanted and the style we wanted. So we spent all last summer writing the music.
Wow.
So I would call him at all hours and send him over chopped up MP3s and be like, now this is this, but do that, you know. And especially certain pieces, especially the arrangement of Paint It Black. The beginning of that, I was in my car and I was listening to Diamond Dogs, and I thought, oh, this would be so cool to connect this with Paint It Black. And I called him about it, and he was like, oh, yeah, no problem. And that's one of my favorite arrangements, because that's really his baby right there, because I didn't have any clue as to where I really wanted it to go. I just told him I wanted it to kill. And he was like, oh, no problem.
Very experienced guy. He teaches jazz studies here at UNLV, where we are now. And he was involved in Viva Elvis.
Yes.
He always chuckles when I'm interviewing him. And a number of other and he was with Zoe Bowie.
Yes.
For a time as Chris Phillips, a music director. So he's been around. And as you mentioned, Pin Up, which is the show that you sang in as the principal singer. We're going to take a break right now and invite Josh Bell, our movie critic, to talk about movies for about 2.5 minutes. And then we're going to come back. It's John Katzlamitis, Cats with a Dish. Our guest this week is Ann Martinez. Stick around. I know we will.
The treatment for my spine affects my DNA.
You sacrificed your power so you could walk.
What do you know about it?
I've lost my fair share.
Huh. Dry your eyes, Eric.
Doesn't justify what you've done.
You've no idea what I've done.
That's James McAvoy as Professor X and Michael Fassbender as Magneto in X-Men Days of Future Past. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Characters from throughout the X-Men superhero series unite in the time-spanning saga of Days of Future Past. Director Bryan Singer, who helmed the first two X-Men movies, faces an uphill battle in bringing the disparate elements of the series together, but he mostly pulls it off, delivering both a satisfying capstone for the series so far and a solid starting point for future installments. Seeing various X-Men veterans reunited is a treat for fans, but the real accomplishment of Days of Future Past is throwing all of those characters and ideas together and using them to tell a genuinely entertaining story. I give X-Men Days of Future Past 3.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is Belle, starring Gugu Mbatha-Raw as Dido Elizabeth Belle, the daughter of a British naval officer and an African slave born in 1761.
Elizabeth said something when we arrived in London. We women are but the property of gentlemen. But it came into my head that I have been blessed with freedom twice over, as a Negro and as a woman.
Dido's upbringing is as proper as any English lady's, but her racial background prevents her from enjoying the full advantages of her family name. Mbatha-Raw gives a strong performance that balances romantic and political passion, and director Ama Asante gives both sides of the story equal weight. I give Belle 3.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with me now in our studio at Greenspun Hall is Anne Martinez, the visionary behind BBR. And you do so many other things. You have done so many other things.
Yes.
Only you've been in Las Vegas for what, about 2 years now?
A year and a half.
Year and a half.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
My gosh. You microwaved this situation, didn't you? You came out. We'll talk about your resume here in a moment. I wanted to name check some of the people in BBR because
yes.
They all deserve to be individually recognized because this is the folks, this is the best of the best here. And I'll talk a little bit about the band. We talked about David Perico mm-hmm. earlier. Man, he was a friend of mine I got a great deal of respect for. We have Abe Gabroyan
mm-hmm.
on bass.
On bass.
Andrew Friedlander on tenor sax.
Yes, the Fury.
The Fury. Where's that come from? Is he there's a lot of Fury in
because he's so fierce.
He's fierce.
When he plays.
Sometimes I think he's just going to combust.
Or that.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
We have a thing, Andrew and I don't know if you know that I do this, but every time I see him perform, I've just started when he's at a Matt Goss show, but I give him the finger from the audience.
That's awesome.
I do. Yeah. He's always looking around, looking at me. And I give him one of these, you know, hey.
Oh, yeah.
And he kind of nods. And then the show is on at that point. I don't even know how it started.
I love him. He's awesome.
He is a great player. Crystal Yuan.
Yes.
On viola.
She's incredible.
Don't call it a violin.
No.
Yeah. She's
viola.
A part of the, she's in Stewart's show.
Rod Stewart, yeah.
Yeah. And also part of Pop Evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Mikey J.
Yeah.
Moreno on drums.
He's awesome.
He is the big foot, I call it.
Yeah.
The big foot. He hammers that foot. I think that pedal's going to come through
the
drums on that.
He's killing it.
Yeah. Did Dave, was he in charge of contracting all the musicians?
Yeah. When we sat down and talked about the band, he said, who do you want? And I said, I want the Dream Team.
All right.
And he was like, okay. And then he put everyone together.
Otto Ealing.
Yes.
Keyboardist.
Who's the genius.
Right. And he's a Liberace scholarship winner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's at the last, might be even the last one they've awarded that to before they ran out of money.
Yeah. He's mm-hmm. ridiculous.
And he's only 20 years old or something.
Yeah.
Or
he has a doctorate. Like just,
yeah.
He's brilliant.
Yeah. He's kind of makes you mad.
Yeah.
Machito Sanchez on percussion.
Cuba.
Cuban.
Yes.
And a genius.
My Cuban husband was very excited.
Oh, yeah.
That's
right. Johnny, right. Yeah. Johnny.
He was like, oh, my God.
Now, as Johnny will tell you, there's a big difference between Cuba and Puerto Rico.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah. Brian Bissell on guitar. He's with the Gossy Band.
Yes.
And also
fierce.
Jerry Tiffy. 4 p.m. on Fridays. There's a plug for you, Jerry, at Arizona Charlie's. Steve Dawson on alto sax.
Mm-hmm.
That is the lineup of musicians, live yes. musicians playing
and,
live.
And we also have Charles McNeil as well.
Oh, yeah, who wasn't at the show.
Yes.
On Tuesday, but mm-hmm. it's also part of the band. Now, so there's your musician lineup. Mm-hmm. Then you mentioned Ryan.
Yes, Ryan Kelsey.
Let's run through the dancers too. And
yes, and he actually co-directed the piece with me, and he choreographed with Claudia Mitria, who's also in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got April Leopardi.
Right.
And Eric Morgan.
Right.
And Savannah Smith.
And Savannah, who's... you know, all of these guys, like Claudia's been in, is still in Pinup.
She's
been
in Pinup, Peep Show,
Vegas
the Show, Beatles. Right. She's incredible.
And April is...
April's Vegas the Show. She also was there, and she works at Hayes Nightclub as well.
Okay. Did she have anything to do with Zombie?
And she actually assisted in Zombie, and she swings there as well.
Yeah, Zombie Burlesque.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
And in all of that, with all of them, and Ryan also plays a number on guitar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was working at Pinup, he would bring his guitar into the dressing room, just kind of...
Titanium.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And I kind of poked my head around and was like, hey,
mm-hmm.
what's up with you and the guitar over there? He was like, oh, I like to play. And of course, he's wonderful.
Yeah.
I had an idea where... I wanted, a lot of us in the cast play instruments as well, and I really wanted to kind of infuse that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, what a beautiful moment if we could have Ryan play guitar. And I love the song Titanium, but the original is kind of like a techno drop
beat.
Yeah,
yeah. This is a very drawn down version.
Yeah, and I wanted to really strip it down, and I asked him if he would play, and he was like, of course. And it put together this beautiful arrangement himself.
Mm-hmm. And at what point did you start recruiting or talking to Savannah?
Savannah and I actually used to work for the same cruise ship company. We both did a contract with them. And when I was in rehearsals, one of the producers there was telling me about her and said, oh, you guys should sing together. You guys would just sound great. And I'm like, oh, cool. And years later, when I was coming to Vegas, I knew she was here. So as soon as I got here and I wanted to get this going, I sought her out and said, hey, I have this idea for a singing group. Would you want to be a part of it? And she was like, sure. And then that was when we were a three. And then when that didn't work out anymore, we decided, okay, it was still Savannah and I. We were like, okay, well, should we get another girl? You know, what should we do? And we were sitting at a coffee shop, and she just looked at me and was like, you know what, dude? She's like, I would rather just sing with you. Like, let's just do you and me.
The original concept
was a three.
A brunette and a redhead.
Yeah.
It was a way different.
Totally different concept.
No Alice in Wonderland, no
steampunk. No,
no. Very classic standards involved.
Much more... that showroom kind of.
And the redhead was Tara Paulson.
Yes, yes.
Yes. It was fairly early in her singing.
Oh, yeah. She just kind of got
involvement and career.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she hadn't sung in public very much. She was really getting into that. And she did a number, some numbers with mm-hmm. you in the first show over at Boulevard.
Uh-huh, yes.
Theater, Boulevard, whatever that is over there on the east side of the strip. And so what was the decision? Why did you decide to take it in this direction when the original BBR was in name only, in title only, was...
When
it was similar.
When we had the three, where it was going, it's just not what I, where it kind of ended. I was kind of like, you know, I've always just wanted to push things theatrically. And my master's degree is in acting, but it's also in theater creation.
Mm-hmm.
And I always really enjoyed pushing the envelope, and it just was very safe. So when Tara, you know, said she wanted to really explore solo work, I was like, oh, yeah, man, go for it. And then it was Savannah and I. And Savannah also has a master's in acting mm-hmm. from UNLV, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And she and I both wanted to push the envelope and just kind of be daring and take the leap. And I thought, well, I mean, there's no better time than now. And I've got this other vocalist who can go where I want to go, acting-wise, thematically, in this very risky, you know, choice I was making to really just flip the envelope completely. And then I knew Perico could take us there musically.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, okay, now I need to get the other players, because this is very much an ensemble piece. Whereas before it was like the three girls, and then it was just me and Savannah. Now, really, Alice is a ensemble piece. It's mm-hmm. the six. And it doesn't work without the six. And so we treat it as such. And I think that's what makes it so strong, is that it really is all six of these people creating this environment and world.
Yes, it's unique because it is it's obviously very daring, and everybody's pushing themselves not only just creatively but physically. This is one of the most aggressive shows I've ever seen.
Very, and I needed dancers who could be excellent technically, but also act and really really emote some danger, you know, some really uncomfortable emotions, especially like the duet between Ryan and April. Where it's representational of the Duchess, that whole mm-hmm, sequence in the book where they're throwing plates.
Right,
What they created is extremely emotional, and you know, it's one of the few moments I can actually see the audience, because Savannah and I are very much narrators at that point musically, and I can see people crying, mm-hmm. jaws dropping, just so into this very very emotional moment, and it's so cool. And a dancer to go there is really brave.
Yeah, you can't. The way the show plays out, it's almost like it's impossible to take your eyes away from what is happening. And that's true in that scene especially.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true in all of the scenes. And the way the show has developed, it's been performed weekly at T-Spot for five
performances total mm-hmm. on Tuesdays. What is going to happen now? We've had it's been a showcase uh-huh. of all this series of shows. It's gotten tighter. It's gotten to be really, you know, about where it's going to be for this particular venue. Mm-hmm. There might be another one. Right.
We would like to do an encore. Okay. So I'm meeting with them after this to set that date. So we'll have that date.
I'll give you a ride.
Hey, we'll have that set pretty soon. But, you know, what we're doing now is very much 20% of what Ryan and I have in our imaginations to fully do. So we're definitely looking for a large venue and a permanent venue to mm-hmm. do a run. And we have a lot of interest. So I'm currently in a lot of meetings talking to people. We have a lot of European interest. So we've got...
And how would that manifest itself?
We've got touring companies interested, opening for bands, such and such, uh-huh. kind of that whole idea. We've had cruise ship interest. We've got a lot of hotel interest here in Vegas. So it's finding the right home, I think, for the piece. And, you know, the girls, we're currently training in aerial work right now, getting ready for our full-fledged production, which I'm hoping to find a home for here in Vegas so I can mm-hmm. premiere that. But, you know, I've always wanted to put and infuse aerial work and flying into the show.
Oh, I can see that happening. Yeah, definitely. And what do you need? What are the challenges for finding a venue in Las Vegas? The show, if you say 20% of it, the 20% that we're seeing is very interactive, very immersive mm-hmm. with the dancers coming out into the crowd.
Yes.
The singers coming out into the crowd.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You have the Red Queen that you introduced, that character, which is mm-hmm. a recurring
surprise. Yes, we have a different Red Queen every week.
At the end of the show. Yes. Last Tuesday, it was Jamie Lynch.
Yes.
From Fantasy.
Wow. I just adore.
Yeah. We've had Sky Miles in the role.
Yes,
Claire
amazing.
Sinclair has been in the role. Mm-hmm. Laura Kelsey.
Yes.
From Zombie. Who was the guy?
Curtis Goodman.
Curtis Goodman. Whoa.
Which got a standing ovation.
Yeah. I was afraid that if there wasn't a standing ovation, he would get mad at us. So everybody had to stand because we didn't want the Red Queen going off.
You will get up. Yeah, it's
So what do you need with all of that? What do you need in terms of staging to make this the 100% production?
100%, I mean, would be a stage that had enough rigging for us to rig what we want to do aerially. There's, you know, we would love a tent, you know, we would love a stage. It would, the nerd in me, I would have to go in and measure everything and see if it was right. But
nerd in you. Big Star Wars fan, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, big time. Not the new, not the new ones with Jar Jar Binks.
Okay.
Let's be clear.
Okay. I got you.
John Katz.
I got you.
The original three. And
Jar
then,
Jar Katz.
Yeah. Oh, and then the ones that are coming, I'm very excited about. But anyway, down with Jar Jar Binks. But we're looking for a venue that's large enough, but we would continue with the interaction with the audience. What we're doing at Tuscany have been is what I call environmental theater, where the audience becomes a part of the environment, but we don't bring anyone up on stage per se for any interaction in that sense. It's more of they just happen to be in this world that we are playing in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, in Bad Romance, which is a really intense number in the show between Savannah and I, mm-hmm. where these two characters are having a showdown of do they fight or do they combine their powers, which they end up doing. They combine, become a team. That is a very intense piece, and we're literally crawling and climbing through the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So we would definitely keep that feel. So it would be finding the right theater where we can be that creative and also infuse what I would like to do staging wise and what Ryan would like to do.
Right. And when you do talk about it that way, mm-hmm. and we've had this conversation, there aren't that many. There aren't mm-hmm. that many rooms that can satisfy that specific mm-hmm. vision. And I know I've seen, I've seen people from Caesars Entertainment in that room. I've seen different producers in that room.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to figure that very issue out.
And I think that's the fun process too with talking with these hotels is checking out their venues and seeing what's good and letting them know. The thing is too is that we're new. You know, we're a new mm-hmm. concept, we're a new show and we're proud of that too. But at the same time that makes people kind of go, well, oh gosh, you know, it's a different formula, but I'm like, yes, but we create the same pentagram. So it's it's that kind of a feel. But we have so much support from the arts community here and from mm-hmm. the entertainers and from the hotels, which is really great. I think just finding the right venue for us will be a magical moment. And, you know, our dream is to be doing this 5 days a week.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. And Under what time frame do you expect there will be a make or break, a tipping point for you and for Savannah and everybody involved? All these other people, as we've mentioned, have other opportunities. They have other options. They have other things they're doing right now.
Well,
at what point do you collectively say, we're going to go with this, we've got what we want, or BBR is going to be have played out?
I think the amount of passion behind this project with the cast and band is so strong, we're not going anywhere.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Is it possible for this to be a ticketed show at Tuscany?
I don't know. I think the room itself is a challenge because it is small, and it wasn't meant for what we're doing, really. We've really bent the rules and gotten creative in there and painted and hung curtains and hung lights and really changed it up. I think that to see where it goes is to see where it goes. Like, it's just kind of like an ongoing process for Ryan and I to find the right area to do what we want to do. But there's so much belief and passion behind it. We're not going anywhere.
But you're the final call on this, right?
I am. Yes.
And Martinez.
I own everything legally. So.
Is the person running the show.
Yes.
We were having this conversation after the show the other night that the people who had the money in the room didn't necessarily instinctively go to you as the person who was the head of the act.
And I realize I don't, in my Alice costume with a big blue bow, I don't exactly look like.
And the goggles.
Look like someone who is in charge.
So let's talk contract.
Yeah. And then, hey, let me just take my goggles off and we can talk about it. Yeah, I think we've got so much belief in it, everybody. And I think that's another reason why it is such a good show, is that everyone is so sincere. There's no begrudging, like, oh, I got to go in tonight. I mean, we're in that room all day getting everything prepped and ready, down to the way we designed the tables and put little tiny tea sets on them.
Yeah,
little programs and everything. There's so much heart. There's so much heart. And, you know, with Savannah and I, we've been working on this for about a year and a half now since I moved here. And we're not giving up anytime soon. There's so much more to do.
Right. And you moved out here, you know, as we were coming to the tail end of the show, but I wanted to let people know why you're here. You came out to work in Byte.
Yes.
That's the job that brought you to Las Vegas.
I booked Byte the day I flew in. Which,
you booked Byte, and then Byte was right about then decided it was going to go to the Plaza,
there,
right?
Yes, yeah. I was there in August, and then we moved to the Plaza, I think it was around right after Halloween, so it was November, and it just unfortunately didn't work out, which was really sad because that show was a blast. Like, I didn't know the show, so like after I had been hired, I went to watch it that night, and I was like, what?
There's a lot of spanking in Byte.
Lots of spanking.
Spank and tickle show.
But, you know, vampires do spank each other. So.
I didn't know this until I saw Byte the spanking.
Yes, there's a lot. This is one of the ones I was like, I don't think I'll tell my parents to come see this.
But, and you worked in, you were the second, the main singer in Pinup.
Yeah, I took over at Pinup for about 6 months.
6 months there. And now you're swinging Pinup once in a while still, right?
I'm more of the emergency swing.
Yeah.
So if they have an emergency, they call me in. So like a few weeks ago, they had an emergency and they called me in, and the show has changed since I've been in there. So I was kind of like, you do know I don't know the new show.
I don't know how this Hawaiian number is supposed to work out.
I had to learn a whole new show in about 2 hours.
I know you did it, though. I know
we did it. We did it.
I know your rep is that you can do that. Your reputation is that you will get that done, that you can learn stuff really fast.
Yeah.
And you're also early, as we found out today. You're also early.
I am early. My dad kind of, both my parents pretty much raised us that way, but my dad especially, 10 minutes early all the time.
Right, like, you were there today.
I can't help it.
All right, Ann Martinez of BBR, we got to wrap it up here. Woo-hoo. We're going to look for another encore show at Tuscany.
Yes, it'll be in June.
In June, next month. And then we are going to be on the short leash about what's happening with the show. I hope it works out.
We've got things moving and grooving.
Yeah,
so.
It is a killer production. If you have a chance to see that June performance at Tuscany, at least get over there, because there's nothing else like it. And I'll tell you, as I say every time I introduce you guys, I see all the shows, even the lousy ones. So thanks for coming by, and when you're ready to announce something permanent, we'll bring you back in. All right,
awesome.
Thanks, Ann Martinez.
Thank you.